It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It wasn't long ago that urban farming was almost unheard of in the city of Pittsburgh, but less than a year ago, Pittsburgh City Council passed an ordinance making it cheaper and easier for residents to get permits to raise chickens and goats and keep beehives. Many in Pittsburgh are now exploring the idea of urban farming. Joining us to talk about cultivating, maintaining, and selling homegrown goods is Heather Manzo. She's the Penn State Extension educator focusing on food systems. Heather Manzo, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for the invitation, Paul.
And we'd like to hear from you. If you have ever considered growing food in your backyard or raising chickens, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. And if this is something that sounds like it would interest you or something you've thought you might like to pursue, any of the questions you may have, Heather can probably answer. So give us a call at 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Heather, what's the first thing that you would suggest to someone who's thinking about becoming an urban farmer?
One of the first things to think about is, are you really committed to seeing this through? Because it's so easy to plan. It's so easy to plan a garden in the middle of winter. We have terrible, winter time, and seed catalogs are gorgeous. But it's really critical to think, will you follow it through the growing season? And then practically, it's important to make sure that one knows who owns the land, what the access is to the land. And then the first action step truly is to test the soil for contamination.
Okay, so as I mentioned last year, Pittsburgh City Council passed legislation making it easier for residents to raise urban farm animals, easy for me to say, like bees and goats. So can you talk about the current laws, what animals are allowed, where they're allowed, what the zoning laws, the licensing laws are, that sort of thing?
Sure. So there was a change with this legislation, as you mentioned, that made it a lot easier for residents of the city of Pittsburgh to be able to keep these types of creatures on their property. And so if you're having chickens, ducks, bees, or now not one, but two goats, you cannot have more or less than two goats, miniature varieties in the city of Pittsburgh. These are now permitted by right, which means that individuals are allowed following guidelines in terms of setting up housing setbacks from property lines to have these without having to go through a permitting process, which was what happened previously. So if I wanted to have chickens or ducks or bees or goats were not allowed, I would have to have a hearing, pay a fee, and that was a really kind of expensive and time-consuming, confusing process for backyard gardeners and permaculturalists. And so now it's really great that residents can have up to five chickens or ducks, two beehives, two miniature goats, and that's on a 2,000-square-foot property. So this is a really easy, accessible way for people to incorporate, protein into their diets.
Now, what are some things that people need to think about? Because if someone says, oh, I'm allowed to have this many goats and this many chickens and they want to run out and buy them, what should they be cautioned about before they go and do this?
That these are living creatures. And again, we have a climate that is very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter. And so the individual has to be prepared to take care of their animal's welfare under every circumstance, every day, whether you work late, the kids are busy, you have to go out of town. The animal's welfare is absolutely critical. So there's a lot of different resources that folks wishing to endeavor in having livestock in the city can access. And so Penn State has a number of online resources. We have experts through Extension that are accessible through phone calls or email and classes to connect with to understand what type of care they need under any circumstance and field questions at no cost. We also have some great local groups, including Berg Bees. We also have the Pittsburgh Poultry Association. There are a couple of Facebook group pages. For example, one is Support Backyard Chickens and Bees in Pittsburgh, and a great new goat-related organization called Steel City Grazers, who provides education and demonstrations on keeping goats in Pittsburgh. So it's just a matter of reaching out through. So because these processes are easier, there are a number of resources to engage in these activities. And so Penn State worked with Grow Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Food Policy Council on a collaborative project to have a resource guide that lives online, sort of in neutral space. And so individuals who are wanting to do any type of gardening or growing can find this local-based compendium of resources that they can click through rather than doing separate web searches and web queries for each thing they might be interested in. So this is a great little web page, and we are going to hold a class, a free open to the public workshop, the evening of May 19th.
So if people are thinking, okay, I want to get, I have, you know, some room. When you think of urban farming, you know, you're talking about in within the city of Pittsburgh or other, you know, towns and cities in Pennsylvania. And let's say somebody looks at what they have on their property. They have, you know, maybe an acre or two, or they have or they just have a pretty big yard, and they think, well, I can do this. But as you mentioned, there's the climate to consider, and at times in the winter, it can be bitter cold. So what kind of thought do people need to give to, you know, what they need to do with their animals when it does get cold? Do they need a place to put them? I mean, can there be space set aside in the garage, or are you needing to build a separate structure? I mean, these are things that people probably don't think about until it's, you know, oh no, I have to protect my animals.
This is a really great question, because oftentimes any ag-related activity starts with this huge burst of energy or passion. And then, like any large complex project, the complexity of it unravels in front of you as you start doing this work. And so this is a front-end consideration and question. So yes, animals need shelter. And in the city of Pittsburgh, it is a requirement of this permit by right that individuals having ducks, chickens, or goats live on the property where those animals will live. So, for example, another great new piece of legislation the city of Pittsburgh has out is the Vacant Lot Toolkit, which gives access to vacant lots to residents of Pittsburgh to grow food on. And so it's a really easy process. And again, we have links on our webpage to that. But you cannot keep animals on a vacant lot. Now, if you happen to have 2 acres or more, then your property is considered an urban farm, and there are slightly different requirements that happen there. But the bottom line is that know what these animals need to survive, be prepared for the financial and time investments to take care of them, and yes, they are going to need shelter and care, daily care.
Yeah, so as you're hanging out and binge watching in the middle of winter, you know, you may be doing that with a goat or a chicken hanging out with you as well, because they can't stay outside. So just something to think about.
Absolutely. And just know, too, that there's an active community of urban agriculturalists, permaculturalists, and farmers in Pittsburgh. And so it's good to access these educational materials that organizations like Penn State and Grow Pittsburgh and Still City Grazers, Berg Bees have. But also know that this is a community. And so, as with any community, be an active participant. And so if you run into trouble or need assistance, you have multiple individuals to reach out to for assistance.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation with Heather Manzo with the Penn State Extension Service. She's Penn State Extension Educator focusing on food systems. We're talking about urban farming. If that's something that you've been interested in or perhaps are doing, we'd like to hear from you. Let's go to, we have John in Pittsburgh on the line. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi. How are you guys? Thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it, and I do enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Just want to say that I'm involved with a home aquaponics system, and I'd like to hear more about that, because I feel like, commercially speaking, you don't see, you know, if you go into Home Depot or Lowe's, you'll see at the garden section, you know, traditional methods for gardening, but you don't see a lot of aquaponic systems. And considering that the system mitigates the necessary input, that over time it just keeps generating more and more of its own sustainable resources, that I just want to know why that isn't being implemented more.
Okay, let's see what Heather has to say about that.
John, thanks so much for the question about aquaponics. This is such a popular topic in urban environments. This is something that individuals want to do in their yards as part of a permaculture system. This is also something that community groups engaging in urban farms and doing agriculture for transformational impact projects really are looking at seriously. So there's a big difference between doing this as part of a social impact or community impact project or a home project versus commercial. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. This is something that has not really scaled to commercial anywhere, but usually runs as a demonstration project, occasionally big enough at an institutional level. Say, for example, for a university, for example, Chatham University is about to have an aquaponics project go online that will supply some quantity of food into their own food service or catering business. So stepping back again and looking at the home practitioner, it's really, this lives in the realm of permaculture. This lives in the realm of specialty systems. And so the community to tap into for education information there is not necessarily going to be housed through a big box store like Home Depot. And so again, this is a place with tons of resources online. Extension can help talk through this. There are some private groups that have proprietary systems for sale all around the country. And so again, just due diligence and understand what it is exactly your goals are for having the aquaponics system. And then, you know, after doing the due diligence and research to make sure that you're setting up a system that's going to work with your resources and time.
What are some of the other challenges that are facing Pittsburgh growers?
Sure. So Pittsburgh growers, particularly urban growers, are going to run into soil considerations. And soil is not just a medium to hold the plant's roots and provide structural support, is a living, dynamic organism in and of itself. It's a whole microbiotic community. And so really paying attention to the soil, both in terms of condition, because we have a lot of vacant lot situations, even backyards of homes that have never been vacant lots, you're going to find rubble. So you're going to have physical issues such as, you know, glass and soil and rusty nails. Be aware of that. The piece to really underscore, though, is heavy metal contamination. Pittsburgh has had a renaissance. We have emerged as a green city and sort of rebirth from that past, but the environmental contamination lives in our soil. And so it's very important to consider lead and other pathogens and other contaminants. And so the first thing you're going to want to do is a lead test, and we actually have a soil working group in Pittsburgh, multi-organizational, looking at these issues. And we have resources through Penn State, through Allegheny County Conservation District. There are a lot of different groups to reach out to, and we can help you figure out what the best type of soil test is for your garden. So that I cannot state enough times. Get your soil tested, because lead and other heavy metals can travel through your skin, through the dust you're breathing. The danger is not so much eating the produce, even though that does carry risk as well. But especially for pregnant and for small children, you're going to want to pay attention to the soil contamination issues. And then after that, if you're in an urban environment, it's good to consider, securing your lot. What's your risk tolerance for having damage or things stolen? And this is a low occurrence, but it is a possibility. And so this is where developing that community piece is really important. Know the neighbors, make friends with people in the area, maybe share produce. And then it helps to weave together a stronger fabric in the community, which is one of the beautiful pieces about doing urban agricultural projects.
And what do farmers need to do to sell their crops in the city? What are the requirements?
Sure. So, again, this is a really exciting change, because a lot of organizations through the Pittsburgh Food Policy Council did extremely years of work to sort of set up these policies. And the Peduto administration has just been fantastic in the city planning department in working together. And I have to give a big thanks to our partner, Grow Pittsburgh, who really worked really diligently on this over several years. So now we have this whole new way of approaching this work in front of us that wasn't possible just a few years ago. And so people need to know that if you're gardening on a vacant land, you can sell that produce. The growing of produce is not regulated anyway, but the sale of it is. So there's a separate market stand permit that has to be obtained if one is going to sell their produce on a city vacant lot. if a homeowner is selling out of their backyard, that is, again, needing to, the homeowner has to think about liability, food safety, handling. And so to cover all of these topics and scenarios, again, we're having a really great workshop on May 19th at the Penn State office to go through the guide of what does it take to sell what you're growing in Pittsburgh. And again, that's all of this information is also available on the new website. And so just know that this is a wonderful time to pursue these activities. Zoning, code, planning, everything is in place to facilitate it. And there's a lot of great fact sheets and online resources to walk through. And a lot of individuals such as myself are available for emails or for calls to talk through the process depending on the particulars of what an individual or a community group would like to accomplish.
Is it possible to make a living as an urban farmer?
So that's a trick question. So agriculture has notoriously thin margins. It depends what making a living means to the individual. And
like I can do this and maybe a couple other things on the side, but I can survive on this. I can pay my bills and my mortgage by doing this.
That is a tall tale. I think that that is not a tall tale. I think that is potentially a tall, tall ask of an urban garden situation. We have some successful urban farms who do that, who are profitable. A lot of urban farms, though, do have a community mission. And so there are partnerships, sponsorships, grant support, a lot of different dollars that can flow in to supplement the sales. That's a situation where a farm can be profitable and support some level of wages. But to just as an individual sell, that's going to take some homework to figure out if one can meet their bottom line requirements. So a really good resource and near-term opportunity to uncover those numbers and to sit down and work with Extension Farm Business staff is coming up in May as well. So the first three Tuesday evenings in May, we are hosting a class called Exploring the Small Farm Dream. And the registration deadline is the 24th of this month. 9 hours of business planning to answer your question, Paul.
Sure. And let's work in a couple of quick questions. We have callers on the line here in the few minutes we have remaining. Let's start with Zadie in Pittsburgh. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Am I saying your name right? Zadie?
Yes, this is Zadie.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a question. I read somewhere on the blog that very, I would say, hostile to urban farming, that it could be very bad or even toxic to grow an urban garden because of all the traffic, you know, the cars and plants. And I've also read that the toxins end up in the soil. And the plant, I don't know if you already talked
yes,
about
we,
it.
Yes, we did. Let me jump in because we did mention this. And you're saying that you mentioned some of the concerns. You said, but it's not necessarily going to get into the plants. But you recommended doing a soil test, right?
Yeah, do a soil test to really understand what toxins are in the soil and are endemic to the site you're growing on. And then I think the caller did raise a separate point, which is, you know, exhaust fumes from diesel, for example. And we still have an operating steel mill in Allegheny County that is, you know, putting out smoke and things into the air. So you want to be careful. You're not wanting to grow green leafy vegetables at the edge of a highway because, yes, you are going to see additional toxicity than what's in the soil from particulate matter coming from the air. So it's a matter of choosing a site that isn't on a main thoroughfare and close to where those airborne particulates could settle. And so I just wanted to say as well, plant tissue does take up heavy metals. Different types of vegetables and fruits take them up in different quantities and ways. So this is why it all comes back to good site selection and soil testing, because if you know what's in your soil, then you know what's going to end up in the plant tissue.
Okay, so we've got less than a minute left. What do you recommend that people look at raising? If they're living in the city, they want to do this, what do you think are the things they should aim for?
Well, urban agriculture has such a transformational effect on the community, on the individual. I think people should grow what their heart's passion is, because ultimately that's what will be tended in the garden. And so whether that's flowers, vegetables, fruits, perennials, just make a garden and make Pittsburgh beautiful and know that you have support. So reach out if you have questions.
Our guest has been Heather Manzo, and she is with the Penn State Extension Service, Penn State Extension Educator, focusing on food systems. We've been talking about urban farming, and I think you've given us a lot of good information to work with. Heather Manzo, thank you so much for being back here with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Coming up, we'll look at the status of the food truck scene in Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.